share a portion of God's word with you from the second chapter of Ephesians. Yes, amen. Yes, amen. Amen. Everybody follow the Lord today. Amen. 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 Bless you, Sister Motes. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with the first verse. As it's been said, everybody follow the Lord today. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And, I have a heavy burden on my heart today, and I have a great desire on my heart today to share a thought with you from God's Word and from these Scriptures about important reminders or the importance of being reminded. And I want to ask you something. This certainly wasn't anything on my mind when I was studying, but this happened during the service this morning, and I wonder, was it just me? I don't believe it was. But when Brother Ernie led the song, "He Touched Me," did God take you back and remind you of the day He did me, made me happy in my soul, and took me back to the thoughts of the day when He saved me by His grace? You know, God reminds me of that from time to time as I go through life. Sometimes, through different channels. Today it was through that song, but God just takes me back and assures me and reminds me of that day that He saved my soul. I think sometimes that we miss this. I'm sure that those of you that study the Bible have heard this said before, that there's three very important things that you need to establish when you're studying the Scriptures if you want to get it right. You got to figure out who's doing the talking, who they're talking to, and what they're talking about. And those three fundamental points of Bible study are extremely important. It's important to know who, when you're reading a portion of Scripture, who it was that was talking. That's important to know. And the Apostle Paul here, in writing this letter to the church at Ephesus, and what we know in our Bibles as the second chapter, now there weren't any chapters when he wrote it, but what we know today as the second chapter of Ephesians, I want you to notice something in this. And, you know, you have heard me and other preachers, and I will continue to do this, and I'm confident that my preacher brothers will continue to do this, but you have heard us in preaching to the lost people and preaching evangelistic sermons. You've heard us reference Ephesians chapter 2 many times and preach to people that are lost, that it's by grace that you're saved, and that's true. I mean, lost friend, listen, if you're ever going to be saved, you're going to be saved by God's grace. But the Apostle Paul, in writing this, and as I said, what we know as the second chapter of Ephesians, when you read this, Paul did not write this to people that were lost and say, it is by grace that you can be saved. He wrote this to people who were saved and said, it is by grace that you have been saved. Now, that is the strict context that we have in the second chapter of Ephesians. Paul was reminding people that had been saved already that they had been saved by grace. There must have been an importance to that. There must have been a reason for that. That he wrote to these people and reminded them of what they had been and what they now were. And that's how this second chapter of Ephesians starts. And, God forbid that as those of us that have been saved as his children, God forbid that we would ever forget what we were and what God made us to be. And that's how this chapter starts. Paul writes to these saints. Look at the first chapter of Ephesians, the first verse. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. You know, the first thing that the apostle Paul did in this epistle was establish who he was writing it to. He was writing it to the saints. He was writing it to the children of God. He was writing it to those who made up the body that was known as the church at Ephesus. And he, in this second chapter, by the time he got to this part of the letter, the epistle, he told them, he said, "You has God made alive. God has made you alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." Now, you know, I have known both of those things. I have experienced both of those things. You see, I had the problem that David spoke about in the 51st Psalm when he said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." That wasn't only true about David, that was true about me. And I'm telling you that it was true about you as well. In the 58th Psalm, when he said, "The wicked are estranged from the womb, they go forth as soon as they are born, speaking lies." See, that was me. But it was you too. You saints, you, the ones that I address this epistle to, you children of God here at Ephesus, you that God has made alive, spiritually alive, you that God has saved, who were dead in trespasses and sins. In the past, you walked according to that type of nature. In the past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, according to the spirit that now, that still, that presently continues to be in the children of disobedience, those who haven't yet been quickened. You fulfilled the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, or even as those who still are. We were the same, weren't we? The same. I want you to know something, lost friend. If you're here today and you're without God, you're separated from Him, there was a time when I was right where you're at now. Right where you're at. And everybody here today that has been saved will testify of that same thing to you, that we were right where you're at. We were lost. We were without any hope. And I'm telling you, if it had not been for the Lord, we'd still be there. We would still be there. The Apostle Peter, in what we know in our Bibles as 2 Peter, the second epistle of Peter, in the third chapter of that, the Apostle Peter wrote about the coming of Christ, his return, his second coming. And if you go read the third chapter of 2 Peter, you will find out that he did not address that to people who were lost. Now, I preach to people who are lost about the coming of the Lord. And I hear my preacher brothers preach about the coming of the Lord. But, and I'm confident that we will continue to do that. But the Apostle Peter wrote in that epistle
Go read it and you'll see quickly that is true. In 2 Peter chapter 3, he wrote about the coming of the Lord that he might remind the saved about that. That he might, he said, my reason in this writing this epistle is that I may stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And you will find the same thing in that epistle in 2 Peter chapter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, the beginning of that epistle, you're going to find the same thing there that's true about Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He was writing to the saints. He established that in the very first verse of the epistle that he was writing to those who had obtained like precious faith. They had been saved. And he said this second epistle in chapter 3, Beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And he went on and he spoke about the flood that came in the days of Noah. And he spoke about the coming of the Lord that is yet to come. And he spoke about that to remind and to stir up the children of God. Don't you think we need that? Don't you think that we need to be reminded? Don't you think that we need to be stirred? Don't you think that we need to be ever mindful of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, that he's going to come back and that he's going to separate the saved and the lost? Listen, if we don't keep that on our mind as God's people, if we don't stay reminded of those things, it's going to greatly affect the way that we labor. That's the importance of it. You know, we need to labor with that before us. The Lord is coming. He's coming. Maybe he'll come today. As Brother Dallas has already said, if he does, that's good for me. And if you've been saved, that's good for you. I'm looking forward to seeing him, aren't you? I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus. I mean, that's a wonderful thought to me. When I read that verse there that Brother Wheat read to us from Revelation chapter 1, Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. When I read that, my heart says, Hallelujah. I'll get to see him. If they have long since buried me in the grave somewhere and the skin worms have destroyed my body, I'll see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every eye will behold that. But what a horrid sight for people who are not ready. That ought to be on our minds, Christian friends. I'll tell you what happens. When we don't stay mindful of these things, when we are not reminded of God's salvation by grace, listen, we have got the greatest gift that anybody could ever have. I'll tell you what, I believe this. If you've been saved, you can go through this life a pauper. You can go through this life with nothing and be the richest person to walk the face of the earth. I mean, if you've been saved, you've got it. You've got what's really worth having. You've got that which will last. You've got that that'll take you to heaven when you finished your short life on the earth. We're going home, people. We're going home when this life is over. We're going home to be in God's presence. What a day. What a day that'll be when we see the Lord. And not one of us, I'm telling you, not one of us here was worthy of it. Not one of us deserved it. There's not one of us that's not included in what Paul said. In time past, we were sinners. In time past, we were lost. We were separated from God. We didn't have this hope. And now we have it because God is a gracious God. If you're here today and you're saved, I want to ask you this question. Are you rejoicing in your salvation? Or have you put it somewhere back in the corner of your mind and get so wrapped up in the world that you hardly ever even think about it? I want to ask you here today that are young Christians, is the influence of this world distracting your mind from what God has given you? You need to hang on to God. You need to take God's word and you need to read it and you need to remind yourself of the beautiful gift of salvation that God gave you. And when your friends and your peers and those around you or your classmates or whoever it may be try to distract you with other things, you remember that you're a child of God. You remember that you're among those that are saved by grace. You belong to God, that God has given you the greatest gift of all. You know, that one thing, that one beautiful thing, that one fact that I have been saved by God's grace has taken me through so many things, so many times when I was being challenged, so many times when I was being tempted, so many times when things were plaguing me, I could look back to that day and say, I've been saved. I know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. I was lost. But now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Undeserving, but I have salvation because of God's grace. God's grace. That's the only way that we can find favor with the Lord, is by His grace. Are you reminded today? Are you reminded of what God has done for you? Are you like David was at one time? Have you just lost the joy of your salvation? Let me tell you something. You can go read what happened to David, but you don't have to commit adultery to lose the joy of your salvation. You don't have to commit murder to lose the joy of your salvation. You just become worldly minded and you'll lose the joy of your salvation. You just let the things of this world distract you from what you are and who you are, and the next thing you know, your salvation will be something that's just stuck away in the corner, and you'll rarely even be thinking about it. But we need to keep that before us. We are the children of God. We are His chosen people. Noah, all you've got to do is repent of your sins, young man. You don't have to do anything but that. Repent of your sins and place your trust in the Lord. That's what He requires of you. Trust in the Lord. Sinner, trust in the Lord. Place your trust in the Lord. Let's come and pray.